Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
I'm George Affleck.
And I had a whole list of things that I was going to tell you about this edition, the 301st edition of Unspun Podcast. But you know what? I'm just going to say George was right again.
Oh, no.
On
Unspun. Well, I mean, I don't try to be right. And, you know, there is the whole George Facts joke.
Yes, you...
I mean, it's a George Fact until it becomes fact.
Right. It's a George Fact. But I mean, and 301 episodes. Like, I didn't even know that our last one was 300. And we've been doing this for a while.
I totally forgot. Quite momentous. I saw people thanking or congratulating us. And I'm like, yeah, I guess we're probably going to pick it up. Pretty big deal. 300 episodes.
We didn't know. So, but I have to say, and this is not blowing smoke, like I've learned, pardon my injury, I have learned that that you have things to teach people, George. Like you have a political position. Hey, stop being mad at George. You have a political position for sure. Like you are a politician and a journalist and a communications expert and a PR person. Like you're many hats. But there are
sometimes
some things
I'm just
that
the guy who does chores around the house generally.
Okay, put Amanda on because I don't believe you. No, I'm kidding. But you have a way of explaining some things or suggesting that perhaps this might be a way to go about things, even when there are things you don't really necessarily agree with. And some you do. But when we're going to start this edition, and please don't tune out when I say these two words,
parkboard.
So a press release went out from the mayor of the city of Vancouver about what the next steps are to be a city council run park governing body. Minister Christine Boyle has put forward what?
A motion or a bill or whatever you would call it, I don't know, to basically have a referendum in the next city election.
So you called that. You're like, why not just have a referendum? Ask the voters.
Yeah.
Do you guys want a park board or do you not want a park board? And if everybody says.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's interesting. Two things. One, it's too bad that the people like Pete Fry didn't jump on that one. I guess he wasn't listening to our podcast that Christine was. Because it could have been, he could have leveraged that and said that was my idea. Or whoever on council could have put that out there. Or even the current council could have said that and owned it. But now the province owns it. So listen to Unspun, everyone.
You should have watched George sooner, but okay. Yeah. So let's talk about this. So in the mayor's press release, it stated how much money that dissolution of the park board would save taxpayers. And we'll get into the 0% property increase, whatever, in a second. But first let's the park board specific. How much money did the mayor report, the study around it, tell us we would save?
This is the ultimate spin and how to unspin. $70 million fine print.
$70 million.
Fantastic. 70 per year? No. Over 10 years.
So $7 million a year?
Yeah, which is about less than 1% of property tax. So I guess we'll get a 1% break in our property tax bill. A government that's brought in 30% property taxes since they got elected 3 years ago. So thanks.
Okay. Perfect segue though to the 0%. It's been confirmed. You said it would happen, and then you're right again. Oh, I think I'm not able to do this podcast.
I'm not even writing policy for these people. They don't even pay me for this information.
It's killing me. Okay. No, it's not. But you said, watch. He's going to come through going into this. That we're in the election cycle now because the municipal election's coming next fall. We're a year out.
Yes. Well, after three terrible budgets, and each one of those budgets, I said, now the only choice he has is to end his cycle of a 0%. That's the only saving thing he'll have because he can't bring in another 10, 15% budget increase. And so, as predicted, he came in with zero. Which means I think it's $100 million in cuts, they say. You know, it's a lot.
Where does that come from?
Who knows?
I thought we had a leaky roof. I thought the sky was falling. I thought everything was on fire. I thought...
Well, I could say, and I think I talked about this, and I did talk about this with the Vancouver Sun. There was a story about this a couple of weeks ago. There is, staff aren't going to come to the budget meeting saying, "Hey, everybody, I got some cuts," unless they're given direction, because they don't want to be the bad guys in their department. So I can say without a doubt, there's lots of room given the focus to find savings, especially given all the changes with AI and how the working from home, all this stuff. It's like everything's changed, and so 100% there should be, an opportunity to find savings, and mostly in the middle management area. Exempt staff, I would say there's probably 400 to 700 exempt staff will get the boot. The union people, that's tough to do. So, likely they'll push union people into other positions. Hey, if can I just get people to fill more potholes, please? I don't care if you're a union or not union, just fill some fix our streets, our
Right,
sidewalks,
paint that graffiti over.
that kind of stuff.
Fix that sign.
I don't
Yeah.
need more
Take care of
planners,
that park.
sorry, slowing down the
Yeah.
process. So we'll see. But going
Yeah.
back to the referendum, though, what's interesting will be generally if they put a referendum, a big referendum question like that on the ballot, it increases turnout and a vote because there's
Right.
more energy, more focus. So people have two reasons to show up to vote. So if they're all the passionate people or not passionate people about park boards, will show up just to vote on that. They care less about the mayor, but they do care or not care about the park board. So
I'd like
that's
to
good
point
news for
out,
democracy.
it's good news for democracy. And I would like to point out to every single person who listens or watches our podcast, you can go and vote only about the park board. You do not have to vote for mayor. You can check one thing on the ballot, and one thing is a yes or a no on that, because they're going to word it in a way that confuses the hell out of us, because that's also something that is done. Like how a question is asked in any kind of
Sure.
polling, not even just election polling, like it's like, how is that asked though exactly? Did you know what you were answering at the time?
Yeah. This
Yeah, so
throws a wrench, by the way, in former Mayor Kennedy Stewart's goal to have a decision about wards in cities across the province, because that would have to be a referendum probably as well. And I don't think they're going to put two referendums on the question on the ballot. That would be crazy.
right. Is he
So we'll
still
see.
around?
He's pushing the ward system, proven to be one of the most corrupt governmental structures in the world. Like,
I
oh, I'm
don't.
just good about my neighborhood. What do you got for me? Oh, you want a tower over here? Sure, give me some cash.
Okay, but before we move on from municipal, and I didn't flag this before we started recording here, but there was some of the conversation around zoning. City Council took a vote on
Oh,
where
Broadway.
Broadway and the Vancouver plan, like not, I mean, yeah. And
Yeah,
so
it's
into neighborhoods and what's heritage and what's not and what's a tower and how high and which corners and what and the maps. I mean, I bet you the NIMBYs were losing their minds.
that and the process people, because they're basically throwing out, no more public hearings.
Right.
This whole concept of a pre-zoned area. It's funny though, there's some people that were loved the idea of pre-zoning, but not in places that they hate there to be
Live.
pre-zoning. So it's like, okay. But the intent when I was there with the Broadway Corridor plan was that it would be pre-zoned, that you wouldn't have to go through this public hearing process, partly because the basic principle of the plan was it was a mix of rental housing, because Broadway, it's not the most beautiful street to live on. It's busy. And it's the second biggest business district in the province. And so it needs more buildings for offices, for medical. That's it's the biggest medical community in the province, if not Western
Totally.
Canada.
Yeah.
They need more space for their stuff, whatever they're doing. So, to get that to,
Which is everything.
lost in the process of rezoning with a public hearing and blah, 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 that was the
Nothing's
intent of
getting
the Broadway
built.
plan. And so
Yeah.
this follows through on that. So I say good job, but it's again, this is the kind of stuff they should have done in year one, not year four. Really mixing it up here to put them on the online. But I guess you could argue, hey, we're brave. We're
Yeah.
brave, but
Or
rough.
they see the writing on the wall because, like, the popularity of this mayor
Yeah.
is tanked.
Yeah, the polling
Like,
is the worst I've seen for a city
yeah.
mayor.
And yeah. And I don't come from that as an opinion. It is fact. Like, and the young people, because the algorithms are feeding them the negativity of it as well. Like, so there's an amped up and getting out the youth vote. That's why the last municipal election, even the, what was it, a by-election that had all the lineups, that had only a handful of places where you could vote, that it was hours and hours and hours long in line. Like, that's not who we are. Like, open the polls, do your deal, do your best, and like, let's see how it goes. And I think, again, like you said about the referendum question being on the ballot, I think that there are a lot of young people who have never voted municipally that are activated right now for whatever reason, right or wrong. I believe we're going to see a higher turnout. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'll finally have something where I'm right, George. I
I'll
want to
put
be right.
it at 41%, maybe.
That's higher than 33, so I'd be right. Oh, let's talk about David Eby, the provincial government. Obviously, we were talking last week about the fallout between Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta, saying, well, we're going to put a pipeline right there, right through BC. And David Eby was like, no. And quite, I don't want to say emotional. I was saying
Yeah,
last
no,
week
he
how it was
was.
very, it was like, but his lawyer emotional came out. Like, he was dad mad.
Like
You know what I mean? Is that a thing?
when I'm trying to teach my kids math.
Yes. But ever
Don't you
since
get
then,
this?
why don't you get this? But ever since last week when we talked about this, it has escalated to the point where it's like, no, it's like not a thing. In his press briefings and what have you, I'm reading the transcripts of all of it because you see some clips on the news, but you gotta,
Right.
hear the context and see the, like, there is spin in there. And then there
Yeah.
is like straight up, like, no. And then,
Yeah, and of course, this is why this process had to happen so fast for our prosperity, because people like Eby are putting roadblocks in, and Quebec as well, so that it'll never happen. The stuff that we want to happen that's going to help Canada to be more sustainable financially outside U.S. It's
can I
becoming
ask you
now
though?
distant, imaginal. Imagine, like, it's not going to happen. I don't know. It's like,
One of the things, and I mean, I have respect for Adrian Dix on a number of levels. I believe that he worked incredibly hard as health minister, and what an incredibly difficult time to be in that role. And he made himself available, and now he is in the other role that is environmental and somebody who would,
oversees hydro and all that stuff, yeah.
yeah, and I, well, all of the things that are our natural resources and resources that we can utilize to stimulate our economy, both provincially and federally. And listening to him speak about what Danielle Smith was trying to do, and the fact that this is just an idea at this point. It's not like there's a roadblock to something that was, shovels in the ground. And he did point out that the pipeline that the government owns that runs through BC could be utilized to a greater degree, could be, added to, like, there are things that could happen before it's what
Yeah,
Danielle
the
Smith's lobbing
pipeline.
on. Like,
Yeah, but that pipeline was only owned by us because of the NDP and
fair enough.
the unwillingness to allow a pipeline across
Fair,
BC and the
fair.
First
How,
Nations. I mean,
totally.
come on.
A lot of the nations are saying, like, we do not want Alberta in charge of what happens next on our, I mean, there's ways of doing it, and I don't know, like yelling from your pulpit in Alberta at yelling from your pulpit in BC are the way to do it. Because I mean, and this is a perfect pivot to our prime minister going to visit the president of the United States in the Oval Office and have conversations about tariffs and relationships and what have you. There was no like, I'm going in, whatever
Right.
the
Elbows up.
yeah.
Elbows
Well, but
down.
it's. But it wasn't elbows down either. Maybe you think it's elbows down. For me, as somebody who definitely wants that, we're never going to be the 51st state. We need to find a way to calm the waters so that the most vulnerable people in all of this aren't feeling even more pain. I kind of feel like the prime minister is managing the ego of Donald Trump quite with finesse. Like watching that live in the Oval Office, I was like,
Yeah, and there were some brutal things that were said, that he had to
Yeah.
stay quiet about. But
Didn't he though? Like,
yeah.
can you imagine? Like, what's the alternative? Blow it up and like get into an argument with the
Well,
craziness? No.
that might be popular here. I don't know, to a certain
Popular with who?
demographic. I'd go
Yeah, okay.
left side of the spectrum. The Yeah, the only thing that we can predict about Donald Trump is that we can't predict Donald Trump. So you can
Exactly.
go in with elbows up or down or sideways or up in your ass. It doesn't really matter. He leaves that meeting. Donald Trump's, hears somebody else say something else, and suddenly he's doing something different. What I do think is different this time is that he realizes that the relationship is more valuable than he realized in his impulsive Trump in his impulsive ways. And
Yeah.
he's finally learning about how that relationship works financially, which gets money. So at the end of the
And the
day,
last person that talked to him said, don't piss off Canada further. Like, I mean, we're a tiny, teeny, tiny little percentage, but we are the neighbor, right? Like,
we
and
got
they're
Portland to invade.
right. Oh my God.
Love the
I
picture of him in the Portland of
just.
like the memes with the farmers market.
Oh yeah.
Just like,
Yeah.
oh,
It's
here we are
mayhem and everybody's
protesting
in like a
mayhem.
blow up dinosaur costume,
Yeah,
right? Like there are a bunch of furries out there.
kind of like
Before
that
we go
too.
there, I just wanted to just let's stick with federal Canadian politics here, because after watching Prime Minister Mark Carney and his delegation go and have those meetings at the White House, and then the reaction here in Canada, and in particular from Pierre Poilievre, and how he is responding. What do you think of the tone of that?
You think it's like grasping at straws. He's just trying to find a voice of something, but the Liberals keep stealing all the stuff. So, okay, could you have gone in there and negotiated differently? What would you have done differently? I would have gone with my elbows up, or what? And no, you wouldn't have. Nobody believes that. Come on, we think we would have tried to have a really tight relationship with Trump. I think everybody kind of thinks that. So to think that he would go in there and do something angrier, I don't think so. I'm sure he was hoping that Arnie would go in there with that approach, and then he could say, "See, this is the problem. This guy doesn't know how to be a diplomat." So it's really tough. This is what happens when you lose an election, and then you lose your own seat, and it's I get a sense, and I've talked about this before. It's hard to keep his caucus united,
Right, you
in
did say that
his
before.
support, because you're kind of a loser. Like, you lost the election and your seat, dude, and you found a way back, but we don't have a choice. But we will once we realize you're not resonating. Unless something changes, he just has nothing to resonate, except for the people who really hated Carney in the first place, which politically, on based on the polls, is a small, very much smaller than it was in the last election. So your
Right.
audience is actually worse than it was before,
Diminished.
as far as who supports you and who doesn't. So it's tough. I mean, I feel for him. It's when you're in opposition and you can't find anything to grab onto,
No
and it's a
footholds.
process. For me, I was elected by, 3 years. I was fairly alone in opposition, with very little information and no real training and no support from certainly the staff. They were told not to support me in any capacity in learning or anything. So
Wild.
it was, so I just focused on what I understood and kept it simple and just chewed away at that. And I think that's
And
kind of what you
common
got to
sense.
accept. Yeah, you
But
just got to
you also
accept that
brought,
though.
because that was when I met you, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's why we do this podcast. Like, we didn't even really know each other all that well when we started this. I feel like I know you pretty well now, 301 in. But like, that's a lot of hours that you've clocked having to listen to me. And not to mention all the radio we've done together as well. But you're always available, and you would actually speak from a position of common sense. I don't think, and this comes from a place of neutrality, honestly, from a journalism perspective, I don't think I've ever received a straight answer or heard a straight answer from Pierre Poilievre. It has always been a talking point. He's stuck to the script, which is very much a farther right conservative way, and also a farther left conservative way. And we can talk about both extremes of that spectrum, right? But what I see with Mark Carney, because of what I learned of him when he was the governor of the Bank of Canada, and then what I learned of him when he was navigating the Bank of England through Brexit, he sounds very similar, right? Like, listening to question period where he is speaking in it, he's better at it than I expected, frankly, because he was always just kind of like steady Eddie. I'm a banker. But them trying to create this, like, he's just Justin Trudeau 2.0. Like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not. He's in like the. Have you seen the AI video of all the like all of the politicians being recreated as babies? And
Yeah.
they use Donald Trump speaking while in the Oval when Prime Minister Carney is with the president. And then every time Trump mentions somebody else like AOC or whoever, you know, they pop up as babies reacting to what he's saying. And the audio track is real. They really did capture Mark Carney as a baby. And I don't want to make light of it, but we're living in a world of AI. And I thought, you know what? That's the difference is.
I think the best example that we can also see is what happened to Adrian Dix. You mentioned him earlier when the assumption was he was going to win and be the premier. He could kick a dog and win this
Yeah.
election. And then he didn't. And suddenly he's in this, oh, what do I do now? And what happened, and this is very well could happen when particularly, was somebody came up and it was John Horgan, middle of the road, kind of every man kind of guy. I can have a beer with this guy. And that resonated with voters. Plus, it was an interesting election. Did he win? Did he not win? But he managed to get control of the House and the legislature. And and then he won a big victory the next time. And then he won the next one. Cool. It's a good
And I'm
example.
gonna,
But Dix would have just gone like, he kind of knew he was done when he lost that election. He like had his It
was
was really about a
unbelievable.
process to remove him as leader. And he understood that. And Poilievre doesn't understand that, dude, you lost an election. You should have won. You're going to blame Trump for that? Come on.
He's blaming
It's
everybody.
ridiculous.
Read the book written by Rob Shaw and Richard Zussman called A Matter of Confidence if you want to know sort of the interworkings of how that all played out. It's a fascinating, fast read, A
Yeah.
Matter of
The
Confidence.
2017 election, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay. So, Carney in D.C., we could, yeah,
World peace
we'll stay on top
next.
of it, but let's go to world peace next. Do you think that with the announcement yesterday and confirmation of phase one of an agreement between the Israelis and Hamas, you know, basically sparked by President Trump, is this Trump's Nobel Peace Prize moment?
Yeah. And if he gets peace in Ukraine, well, of course. I mean, how I've heard you and I were trying to figure out, we thought we saw something about you can't give it a Nobel Prize, Peace Prize to the guy where they have Department of War, but we're not quite sure if that's a fact.
I don't
It's
think so.
interesting. No, probably not. But come
Yeah.
on, if it was any other president and they did that, come on. I mean, he clearly has influenced Netanyahu in some kind of, he's probably said, dude, you figure it out now or I'm pulling the cash. We're pulling her out. We're going to pull out her and you're just going to be left hanging out here. I'm sure that's the conversation you have with them, and then you're serious. And so that moment you have to go, okay, I guess I better get my ass in gear. I think it's and the opposite
But
with
interesting,
Russia, where he had the conversation, and Russia's like, fuck it,
yeah,
forget
nothing
about
happened. Rolling out the red carpet to
it.
Putin did not
So he goes
work.
on Ukraine's side and he'll find peace that way potentially by giving him all the war
Cup,
things he needs
yeah,
to
the
make Russia come
firepower,
back for to you know so yeah if any other person that anybody to be 100% would deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, if he does this, well, how can you say he doesn't?
I hope Jose Andreas from the World Central Kitchen gets a Nobel Peace Prize for all the work that he has done just feeding people, just all over, everywhere,
Yeah,
whether there's a war zone or a hurricane or a
he
fire
lost
or
some people in
like
Israel, didn't he? A bunch of
he
people
did.
got killed.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
In
in Gaza. Yeah.
marked
Yeah.
vehicles on a
Yeah,
path that was supposed to be safe. Like
that was brutal.
it is something. And I yeah, it please let something be sorted there. And there, I've spoken to a number of friends on the topic, and it's like, how are you feeling? Like those who are really knowledgeable on it, much more knowledgeable than I pretend to be, and they're still like just super cautious because there have been agreements before, and they don't.
Yeah,
So
but
that's what we'll see now. Is
yeah,
this
it's again,
different?
it's such a complex place. Having lived very close to
Yeah.
Gaza, was in Israel. The what's interesting today, I saw the foreign minister today or call, talking about Canada's role. They're already having conversation with our role being as peacekeepers, peace whatever we are, peacekeeper, peacemaker, peacekeeper.
Peacekeeper.
But yeah, but slightly not. She's saying not the same. This isn't always. It's not always the same kind of peacekeeping everywhere we go. But it's interesting that we're being approach to that role, because I think it's a good role for Canada, and
I
you know,
agree.
it's going to be very complicated. But the challenge, you have now obliterated a country, of course, and you've damaged the Israeli people with all this killing. Both sides are so vulnerable and sensitive about everything, and feeling the
As you
revenge
would be.
thing, the revenge is
Yeah.
still there. How do you turn that off? That's a generational, educational, you gotta, you know, I mean, how do we do it with Germany, right? How do we do it with, you know, how do we turn these countries around? Like Japan, you know, look at those as models of how we managed to change the thinking and make them allies and with democracies. I mean, that's kind of always our goals, that as democratic countries. And hopefully we can see that kind of change in the Middle East. I think we all know that every day, all of us are the same as humans. 99% of us just want to get up, go to work, make some money, raise our kids, go watch TV.
Be
It's like
safe.
that's what
Be
we
safe.
want.
Have
Nobody
shelter.
wants
Be
all
warm
this.
from the cold and
Yeah.
shade from the heat and
When you talk about the
water.
1%, it's just 1% of the idiots out there who love war. That's the
Yeah, it's
problem.
a it is it is a thing. So it will be interesting to see how things play out with regard to where we started this with the Nobel Peace Prize, because this was a moment in time that really nobody else has been able to do. And you see everyone from all sides thanking one person who is resoundingly unpopular with many tens of millions of people in his own country. Like, there are so many things that are unpopular in a country where the government is shut down.
Luckily, they don't
And
give you peace prizes for your own unrest.
there you go. And
Maybe
that's a really good
I
point.
guarantee you what Nobel he won't win, and that'll be the prize for literature.
No.
All caps is not
Oh, I thought you meant the birthday card.
No,
Oh,
nope.
that one as well.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that one.
And we're watching the watching, I mean, we've all learned more about US politics over the last almost 10, it's 10 years now. Holy moly, it's 10
Yeah.
years now. You know, I didn't know about swearing in of, you know, elected officials during by-elections, during shutdowns, and you know, what the Speaker of the House is refusing to do right now, what he already did with two Republicans the last time there was a shutdown, but won't do it for the Democrat who would
What a
then be the
system.
enough votes to create the demand for the Epstein files to be released. Like, it's just,
I mean, the
I'm
only example I can
telling
think of
you.
like that in Canada is when there has to be a by-election, how the power is in the hands of to delay that as long as possible by the power, you know. But you know,
And we see that
we
all
see
the
that.
time.
But
All the time.
this is such a weird take from down there. I find they're so proud of it, but I'm like, yeah, so many anomalies in this. I feel like we have more checks and balances with our government than they do.
I
Clearly,
agree.
you know, Trump's figured that out. There's none, apparently.
And it's a tough one to watch, is because the most vulnerable people, the most vulnerable of the population are at massive risk. And now, I mean, hello, air traffic controllers.
Yeah, scary.
Holy
I'm
moly.
flying. I wasn't
I
flying the
mean,
States anyways, but you know, we'll
fair.
be flying over the States.
Right?
Please be
And it's
careful.
not like
Very
everything's
dangerous.
stopping. Like, oh my
No.
God.
They delay them, but it's interesting to watch. I was watching a thing last night. It's like they delay them down by 30 seconds per flight or something. But that the chaos that creates across the whole, you know,
Matrix.
aviation, like half a minute here, half a minute there, half it's just like, wow.
Hey, speaking of half minutes, that's all we got. We got a,
Really?
like literally, I know that flew by. We got one last minute to play in the 301st period. Way to go, Blue Jays, for beating the
Yeah,
Yankees. Let's go,
cool.
hockey. That's the thing with the ice and the pucks. Just
Right.
for you there, George. Yeah.
Right.
If
I
you
went
want to
to
follow,
a soccer game
what's
in
that?
Whitecap a couple weeks ago.
Like
Soccer
this?
game.
Is that what they? Footy.
Footy,
Footy, they call it.
a footy ball. A ball,
A footy
yeah.
match.
It's a
Oh my God.
football,
Did you like
as
it?
Amanda calls it. Well, there was beer. A lot of
I was going
beer.
to say, was there beer? Did you
There's
eat a
lots
hot
of
dog? Was
beer.
it
And there was
delicious?
some kind of tournament we won it or something. I don't know. We
Yes.
were as trophies at the end.
Follow along for all interesting facts about all things sport of
No.
politics. George
That's my sport. Underscore.
Affleck, George underscore Affleck on your Twitter. Everywhere else, just call him George Affleck. Somebody took that handle and we like it. We call him underscore off camera. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on your socials, all of them. And there's a new social media coming called Gander. That's Canadian only. You hear about this one?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We'll see. We'll see. You know what we'll do right now? See ya.
Bye-bye.